It's time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, editor and publisher of the Timberjay, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Big news, big week for news this week, right, Marshall?
It sure was, Heidi.
Well, let's start off with Polymet. That's the proposed copper nickel mine near Hoyt Lakes. Some big news concerning them. Can you kind of explain what happened?
Sure. Well, the Minnesota Court of Appeals on Monday threw out three key permits for now. And these permits would be two dam safety permits as well as Polymet's permit to mine. And all three of those were issued by the Department of Natural Resources. And those had been challenged by a number of environmental groups. And the court in this case found that there was enough information that the various opponents had presented that they found that the DNR should have requested and gone through a contested case hearing. And that's an administrative process that's usually conducted before an administrative law judge. And it allows groups, individuals who are opposed to a decision by any state agency to, you know, present evidence in, you know, more of a judicial type setting. And also they can bring in experts and submit testimony as well as other documentation. This was something that the environmental groups had called for quite a while ago before the DNR had issued these permits. They had been fighting for a contested case hearing. And so this decision by the Court of Appeals obviously is a major victory for some of these environmental groups like the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, as well as Water Legacy, and also the Fond du Lac Band, which had gotten involved in this case as well. Fairly significant blow to Polymet, although it's certainly facing the other legal challenges as well, but I think this decision was probably a big disappointment to them. It certainly is going to mean that this process for them to actually get back to a point where they would have all of their permits again in place, it's going to take some time. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, Polymet did have, a year ago, they had all their permits in place. And then, of course, there's been a series of issues that have come up with these permits, you know, issues over affecting the DNR as well as the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Of course, there's an investigation going into allegations that the MPCA and the Trump EPA had worked together to suppress some concerns that EPA officials had, staff at the EPA had about some of the water quality permits that were issued by the PCA to Polymet. So there's just a long list of concerns here, I think, that have come up in recent months that have been a kind of a big setback here for Polymet. Now, I should mention that Polymet did announce that they are going to be appealing this decision to the Minnesota Supreme Court. So there's certainly the possibility, I suppose, that the Supreme Court might overturn this ruling. On the other hand, it's going to be a further delay at a minimum. Bringing a case before the Supreme Court can take many months. It could take a year. So at a minimum, it's probably going to set it back that far. And then, depending on what the court might rule, then this still could go back to a contested case hearing. That could take many months, probably as much as a year. And then, of course, any decision that would come out of a contested case hearing would likely be appealed as well. So looking down the road here, it's likely to be years now before this Polymet project would get off the ground. And it was already, you know, facing some difficulties here. They've been having a difficult time arranging financing for the project. It's about $1 billion for startup. And at this point, there doesn't seem to be a great deal of interest in that. I know their stock price right now is about 30 cents a share, which is, you know, well below what it was several years ago. Clearly, there's some uncertainty about it as it was. And then, of course, to have a decision like this just throws that much more uncertainty at it.
Is this, I don't know if bad's the right word, is it bad for the DNR that this got overturned? How are they responding to it?
Well, the DNR, you know, is defending its work. They say they're still reviewing it, and they might appeal as well. But, you know, clearly, it was quite interesting. I mean, the court, in its ruling, did bring up some of the concerns that were raised, not only by environmentalists about some of about these permits and some of the rules that the DNR was putting in place with these permits. Some of the DNR's own consultants also raised concerns, and the judges, they cited those concerns. I mean, just to give you an example, one of the consultants had indicated that they felt that the tailings basin dam and the whole plan for wet closure there would likely fail. They said, I mean, just to give the exact quote, "I envision that PolyMet's reclamation plan could work for a while, but I don't see how it will function forever without falling apart unless it is continuously maintained, which is a major leap of faith. I believe it will eventually fail and release the sulfates." That's not an environmental group making that claim. That's one of the DNR's own experts. And there are a number of similar statements like that some of the opponents of the project were able to bring forward to the court. And so, you know, that kind of testimony is obviously troubling and does raise questions, I think, about, you know, what the DNR was thinking here.
All right. Continuing story. Couple years delay probably, huh, at least?
Well, it could be.
Yeah. Let's move on to another big story. I saw this pop up today about St. Louis County snowplowers. They are on strike. What's happening?
Well, this is I think you could say this is a perfectly timed strike by snowplow drivers in St. Louis County. We have, of course, a big snowstorm scheduled to come in here for the weekend, and it's not clear who's going to be out there plowing county roads. Although I did talk to St. Louis County spokesperson Dana Cazell, and she indicated that they do have some limited staff, supervisors, and some other county employees who do have licensure to operate a snowplow. And she said those folks will be out on the roads, assuming we get the snow that's predicted. But, of course, they have nowhere near the number of those folks that would be required to clear the snow on a timely basis. They have about 108 different snowplow routes currently in St. Louis County, and I think they have about 35 supervisors or others who could fill in. So it's going to take some time, most likely, to clear some of these county roads. So it'll be, I guess, timing of this storm is okay because it's supposed to come on the weekend. At least it gives them more time to try to get things cleared before people are, you know, back to work and whatnot on Monday. So maybe they'll be able to get it done. But in the meantime, you know, the county plow drivers, of course, they're raising concerns about a number of things. I mean, obviously, they feel that while they did get, you know, a raise in the county's offer, they feel that most of that was actually eaten up by increases in health care costs, which has been kind of a chronic issue in so many union contracts in recent years. They're also concerned about a two-tiered package. They basically have, you know, two contracts for snowplow drivers, one that was in effect for folks who've been with the county for a long time, and then a newer one for, you know, newer employees, and they have different, you know, benefit levels. The union is saying, hey, we want to have the same system for all the drivers, and they don't like this two-tiered idea. So that's a sticking point as well. Now, the county says they made their last and final offer at a mediation session last Saturday. They say, as far as they're concerned, the ball is in the snowplow driver's court, since they say they rejected the county's offer. It's not clear when this is going to get settled. It could be a while yet.
Last week, Marshall, I mentioned your dog, Loki, and that your dog, you found out, has blasto. And you've been doing some digging and looking into this a little bit. First of all, how's your dog doing?
Our dog is doing quite a bit better. It
okay.
was he definitely was suffering from the disease, but in the last week or so, I would say, he's turned around. He's got his appetite back. There were several days where he almost had to force food down his throat. I mean, he just wouldn't eat. Oh. And that's typical with blasto.
Yeah, and he's a young dog, right?
He is, yeah. He just turned 3.
Okay. So what did you find out about blasto and the part of the world you're in?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I talked to two veterinarians in the area who both see a tremendous amount of blasto, and they both indicated that most of the cases of blasto they see come from dogs that live right in the Lake Vermilion area. And it's something, you know, it's actually caused by spores from fungi that live in the soil. There's two different species of this blastofungi, and that's what causes this. The dogs inhale the spores, and then the fungus actually starts to grow inside them, usually starting in their lungs and then spreading to other organs. Over time, it will kill a dog, obviously, if they're not treated, as the fungus just continues to grow, and it oftentimes spreads to their eyes, which can lead to blindness. You know, they get skin lesions, and then, of course, they have difficulty breathing, obviously, as it fills up their lungs. And then they lose their appetite, too, like I said. That's a very common symptom. But it's relatively easy to diagnose. There's medication that is effective. So if you catch it early enough, you usually can save your dog. And that's what appears to have happened with our dog, certainly, is that it seems like he's turned the corner. The veterinarian that we're working with, Chip Hansen, up in Ely, he indicated that there's about a two-week period, you know, once you start the medication. He said if the dog gets through those first 2 weeks, then it'll generally survive. So we're well past that period now, and Loki's got his appetite back and seems to be pretty much back to normal. And so that's good news. It is quite concerning, the seriousness of blasto and its occurrence in St. Louis County, and also Itasca County actually has a lot of cases as well. But it does seem that the Lake Vermilion area is pretty much the kind of ground zero for this disease. And it is found, you know, kind of across a huge part of the world, actually, but very, very rare in most cases, whereas here it's very common. In fact, the veterinary office in Ely has the most cases reported of any clinic in the country, as far as we could find out. And the situation is definitely getting worse. The number of reported cases of blasto has been on the rise, and we believe that in 2019, from what we understand, it'll probably set a new record for the number of blasto cases. I should mention, too, this does affect dogs most commonly because, you know, they tend to be down in the soil and rooting around, and they inhale spores when they're doing that. But it also can affect humans, especially people who are, you know, working in the soil or digging holes, things like that. And it can be fatal to humans as well. In fact, there were about 50 reported cases last year of humans contracting blasto, and eight of those individuals died. So, you know, it's actually got a fairly high death rate if you do contract this. So it's definitely something you don't want.
Yeah. It's Marshall Hellenberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Have a great weekend. Will you be out on your snowshoes?
I sure will.
All right.
And I think shoveling snow as well.
I think probably, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marshall. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.